Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reminds me that the church is a place of questions and answers. It has always been a place of questions and answers, particularly the big questions. What is the meaning of life? Where do I go after I die? Is there an afterlife or a second life or a resurrection? Why is the world the way it is? Why is there evil? What can I do about it? And the church has always been looked at as a place to answer these types of large and difficult questions. Today's question is of a different nature than some of the ones that I just mentioned, but perhaps is the most important question of all that gets us to an answer that puts a final answer to all of our ultimate questions. The question in the text today, and there's two of them, but we'll start with this one, is, who is Jesus Christ? It's an ever-pressing question in our world today. Can you answer it? Have you had to answer it? If I gave you a pen and a paper and you had an exam instead of a sermon this morning, would you be confident in what you wrote down to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? The second question, and it's not an unrelated question, it's very much a related question that our text presents us with this morning, is, what is the Scripture? Can you label it? Can you identify it? Can you explain it? Would you be confident or happy with these explanations? These are fundamental questions for Christianity. They're fundamental questions for Christians, but they are also ones that in our Western world, nearly every person has to answer at some point. They will either attempt to answer it positively or negatively, but they will likely be faced with this question. Who is Jesus Christ, and what is the Christian Scripture, or what is the Bible? Not only is this an important contemporary question that we struggle with today, but it is an essential question that Christ asked during his own ministry. We can remember back into earlier into the Gospels where Christ asks the disciples, who do people say that I am? They offer some responses that people have been saying. Some say Moses, some say Elijah, or one of the prophets, to which Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter pipes up, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus immediately blesses Peter for this very much correct answer, but not a verse later is Peter rebuked, where Christ says, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because though Peter was able to say who Christ was, he did not know what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ. Peter argues with Jesus attempts to rebuke Jesus himself, where Jesus says that the Son of Man must die. So the Scripture once again confronts us with this question. This time, instead of in the ministry of Jesus, it is after his death and resurrection. The disciples, again, the target of this question, though it's sort of in the appearance form. Jesus appears to them and they are startled. The disciples are startled because they had not yet come to grips with the answer to this question. Who is Jesus? So far, Jesus was a list of things that many people would answer today. Well, he was the greatest rabbi ever. Maybe he was a revolutionary who could move crowds. Certainly a good teacher and the disciples' good teacher. And by this point, the disciples were convinced and had witnessed that Jesus was a man who has died. That was the answer that they had at this point. Thus, when Jesus shows up again, they are startled. They're startled because his appearance is not compatible with the person they've identified as dead. Jesus is not startled, though. He is not surprised by the disciples here and immediately gives them that he is not just an image either. He's not just a hologram sent by the Father to relay one last good message, one last final good teaching. Or maybe he's a memory or a psychedelic trip or something like this. No, he is physical. He offers them to touch him where he's been crucified, where his hands have been nailed and his side has been scarred. And as one last-ditch effort to prove that he's really there, he eats fish with them. So Jesus completes the answer to this question, or at least part of this question, that it does not end with a good teacher who was crucified and buried, but now we've at least gotten to the good teacher who has been crucified, buried, and raised bodily on this third day. But that's not the entire picture. There's a bit of a for you missing here. That resurrection is still sort of causing an anxiety in the disciples. They don't know what to do with the information that he is risen. And so Jesus goes on and begins the greatest Bible study ever taught. He opens up the scriptures to the disciples, and he explains to them that everything, that is everything, that was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, so the entirety of the Old Testament, the scriptures that the disciples would have had, must be fulfilled by him. And he opened their minds to understand. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and die, and on the third day raise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Jesus has to unpack these physical realities. We have facts about who Jesus is, but it's kind of empty until he makes it the disciples. He makes it the disciples' forgiveness of their sins, that his death and resurrection is not a symbol, but is the actual fulfillment of the scripture, the fulfillment of all of God's promises, that sin would be conquered and overcome, and that forgiveness would belong to the children of God. And so we have sort of a new declaration given to the disciples. They are, in this moment, becoming apostles who are now themselves teachers to the world and preachers to the world. And so they are given this message of forgiveness. They are given this answer of who Jesus is. And it's the answer essential to what the church is and what the church is doing. Jesus Christ is not just a good teacher. Jesus Christ is not just an explainer of the moral law. Jesus Christ is crucified and raised for the forgiveness of sins. You cannot just separate Christ from this resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. If you do, you have no Christ at all. Jesus shows that the same is true with the scriptures. We follow his enlightenment of this disciple's mind, and we must say something like this. You cannot separate the meaning of scripture from Jesus Christ crucified and raised. You cannot just have the Bible, the good moral book. You cannot just have the Bible, a lesson for decent living. These are answers that we are often compelled to give. They're answers that the sin and death in this world often force us to want to give. That is, the scripture and Jesus' life are examples, moral tales that we can use to improve and gather around as a community. And while Jesus' life is the perfect moral example, and while the scripture does contain perfect moral lessons in it, it is completely empty and void and ununique apart from this death and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And somehow these moral lessons, the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of scripture, are not fulfilled apart from his death and resurrection. And that should make us step back. That should make us step back because what that ultimately means is we cannot fulfill the moral lessons, the moral teachings of Moses, the commandments, the Psalms, the prophets. We cannot fulfill the moral lessons of Christ's perfect life on our own. There is one singular fulfillment of these morals in the scripture, of what the scripture is, and that is this death and resurrection of Christ. And so here in this, we are given the hermeneutic, that is the key to interpreting and understanding all of scripture. Some have called it the Christ key. This is that when we read scripture, everything we find in it, even perfect good advice, we have to run through the Christ key. We have to run through the fulfillment of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what this ultimately means is though there are good commands which you should be compelled to follow, your following of them does not please God. Your following of them does not put an end to your sin. No, that is done on the cross of Christ. And so we find God's two words here. We find God's law and his gospel. And the law is this first part. It is death. It is the death of Christ. And so where in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, in the prophets, you find this law, it is still testifying about Christ. Even where it is giving perfect moral commands, it is testifying about Christ. Specifically, it is testifying Christ's death to you. It is testifying Christ's death for you, where you have failed these moral commands, where you have been under the law, under the wrath of God. Christ now is in your place. The death of Christ fulfills the entirety of the law, even the condemnation of the law. And two, now where we find the gospel, that is God's promise of salvation given to his people in the Old Testament, given to Israel, and then given to all in Christ and his teaching, even to us Gentiles. You now have the fulfillment of his resurrection. That is life everlasting. You will be bodily raised as Christ has been bodily raised. You will not just be a ghost or a spirit in heaven looking down upon the earth, but you will be resurrected whole. This is the fulfillment of all of God's promises, that the law has come to an end in death, and that life has been brought out by resurrection. And so here we have learned that the answer to who Jesus Christ is not just good teacher, Messiah, first century, Jew who walked around during the time of the Romans, all of those being true. It's not even just his titles. King, King of Kings, Counselor, Glorious, Emmanuel. Those as well are facts. They are realities about who Jesus Christ is. And it isn't even just the facts of Christ is somebody who died and was raised. No, we hear here with Christ and the disciples, Christ is somebody who has died and raised to appear to and for you. Christ is the one who has died and raised with your sins, for your sins, for the forgiveness and everlasting life promised from the fall. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He is the Son of God, crucified and risen with your sins, for your life. We go out and live this reality now with those commands behind us, with those commands in front of us, so that we are daily crucified and raised with him. We are given this promise in our baptisms that Jesus' physical resurrection, that he appears here, is the hope for our physical resurrection. And we take this out into the world as we fail, as we pose and find the questions and answers to things like, why do I suffer? Where am I going? What is wrong with the world? We have this final answer, that Jesus Christ is the end of the world, that Jesus Christ is the end of sin, that Jesus Christ is the end of myself and the resurrection to a new life in his name. In his name we pray. Amen.